Hello, and thanks for subscribing to the World Bridges LiveWire feed. You're about to hear excerpts from the third of three talk shows that were webcast live on May 22, 2005. Discussion turns political for the first 23 minutes as I'm joined by Conrad, who is from Poland but lives in the Netherlands, and Kieran, a student from the UK. They fill me in a bit on what's happening with the EU these days, and we discuss transatlantic relations. We're then joined by Juan Pablo from Uruguay, and discussion turns to football, Star Wars, and global chit-chat. You can listen to complete audio from all three of today's shows by visiting our website at worldbridges.com/livewire. Our next webcast is scheduled for Monday, May 23rd, 10:30 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, 7:30 Pacific, 3:30 a.m. May 24th GMT. Hope you can join us by tuning in live and Skyping World Bridges. For more information about our upcoming webcast schedule and what's going on with this whole webcasting experiment, please visit our website, which is once again worldbridges.com/livewire. Thanks again for listening, and here's excerpt number two from our day of webcasting at World Bridges LiveWire. So what are the big issues in the EU these days?
Well, I think that the biggest issue and the topic on agenda is the constitution.
And what's the status of that? When do decisions get made, and what are the decisions?
Well, the problem is that the constitution needs to be ratified, and in order to be ratified, it has to be supported by the people in each member state. And for example, in a week we have the voting procedure. The popular voting in France, and right now it seems that it won't be ratified. That most people will say no for the EU. Well, not for the EU, but will be against the constitution.
So now, right now, the member countries are members of the EU, but there's no official constitution.
No. One reason is that in the process of the EU integration from the first European community, there were some problems because some countries didn't want to have a federation, because obviously constitution for all the countries would mean that we have some kind of a federation here. And for example, the UK was the strongest was against having anything to do with European Federation. And that's why right now we try to create a federation, because another problem in the EU right now is the so-called demographic deficit, which basically means that there is big difference between who is governed, which means simple people in the member states, and who governs, which means the EU politics. So constitution is supposed to make the EU more democratic institution.
What is France's big reason for probably not approving a constitution?
Well, it seems that not only France, because also the UK and probably the Netherlands will reject the constitution. I believe personally that the problem is that people are not fully informed about what constitution is exactly. That's the one hand. That's on the one hand. On the second hand, the problem is that still people don't feel enough connected with the EU. Then they don't feel that the EU is somehow connected with them. And for example, this constitution. Basically, it was made without any consultation with the public opinion. So people didn't have any influence in creating that. Basically, it was just said that, okay, we have constitution, now we have to ratify that.
Kieran, do you have any strong feelings about the EU one way or the other?
I think sometimes coming from someone who's younger, that sometimes we don't always act on what we praise. I think a lot of rules are broken, and obviously that leads to destruction usually.
I lost the last part of what you said.
I said that that we don't follow a lot of the rules that we praise. We don't do what we praise, so we're breaking our own rules, and then we're punishing other people for doing it, but yet we do it ourselves. So.
And now the UK is kind of generally opposed to too much union with Europe, right? I mean, they won't use the euro and have...
Yeah. I think it's more tradition, more than anything.
Where's Poland with the EU, Conrad?
Well, we are, you know... It's still loud?
Yeah,
it's very loud. Compared to...
Jeff.
Now better?
Yes.
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, Poland is a new member of the EU. We joined in May last year. And right now we quite strongly support the EU and our membership in the EU. So in general way, we the public opinion supports constitution.
Would the constitution take steps toward redistribution of wealth at all? I mean, is it generally kind of more costly for the richer countries and more beneficial for the poorer countries?
It's hard to say it at the moment. I can't say much about that because personally I haven't read the constitution yet, and I don't like to make my opinion upon what I read in different articles. I always try to make my own opinion on the primary sources.
Yeah. Now, I heard something in a podcast recently that the Netherlands was sort of on the fence. They weren't sure whether they were going to support or not the constitution, but that in the recent Eurovision contest, that they felt their representative had been unfairly rejected, and that might affect their vote. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I heard about that a few days ago, and you know, Eurovision is supposed to be something completely different from politics.
It's stupid.
And I think, yeah, exactly. I think it's a completely, you know, weird approach to... Yeah. To the constitution and to such a thing like a European music contest.
I think it is, but it shows how political and politically shallow some people are, that they'll use such a contest like that to show their views when there's so many other ways.
Well, speaking from the land of political shallowness, I don't find it that hard to believe.
Yeah. Pardon?
I said, speaking from the land of political shallowness, I don't find it that hard to believe. I could see something like that happening in America.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of surprised to see it coming from Europe.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I just think it's stupid. It's silly.
So it actually is a real issue. I mean, people are talking about that and it might make a difference?
Yeah, because, I mean, Britain have had really bad acts, I mean, for the last couple of years, and they finally got one that was, I mean, okay, and still somehow all the countries seem to vote for their neighbours. And because Britain doesn't have any neighbours except for Ireland, we were third to the bottom or something like that, I can't remember. But it's just so obvious that it's unbelievable.
As residents of Europe, do you feel your identity changing any? Do you feel less British or less Polish and more European?
No, not really. I don't anyway.
Well, for me it's hard to say because I study European studies, which quite connected with the EU, so I would say that I feel more connected with the EU the more I study about the EU. However, on the other hand, I don't feel losing my nationality.
Yeah, I mean, I've always known us to be part of Europe, so, you know, it's nothing. There's nothing that much different for me, except for those new countries, obviously, being added.
What do you think will happen? What will happen with the Constitution? What do you see happening in the EU in the next decade or two?
I don't know.
Well, the problem with the Constitution is that if it's rejected by any country, at least, for example, we are having right now 25 countries in the EU. Even if one country rejects the Constitution, then it has to be basically drafted from the very beginning. So it has to be written.
All it takes is one country not to approve it?
Yes, not one country. And 2 months ago, there was an article in a European newspaper, European Voice. And 2 months ago, it seemed that the only country that would reject the Constitution was the UK. And the EU, the politicians of the EU, plan to do this thing that because the UK is not, the UK doesn't participate fully in the EU program, for example, as you mentioned before, they don't have, they don't use euro. So what the EU thought was to basically say to the UK goodbye. But now the other problem is with France and the Netherlands. And actually, another article in European Voice about 3 weeks ago said that if France rejects the Constitution, then they will try to somehow push it, because the Constitution basically is composed of three parts. As far as I remember correctly, the most important is the third part, which needs a public referendum. So what they plan to do is to separate the first two parts from the third part, push the first two parts through the parliamentary vote, and the third part through, again, the second referendum. So, you know, it's hard to say what happens in the next few weeks. If the governments really want to have this constitution, they will always find some way to do it.
Were you going to say something, Kiernan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Also, I think another reason why we didn't take up the euro, it's just another point, is because at the moment the pound, the Great British pound, is so strong compared to a lot of other countries, and I think by giving it all up, we're going to lose a lot of money. I think that's one of the main scares for the UK.
How's the pound doing compared to the euro these days?
It's 75 cents to a pound, I think.
Is that up or down? So the pound has been getting stronger.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's what £1 to $1.50. No.
No, it's almost $2. It's like $1.90,
I think. $2, and then it's £1 to €1.50, I think that's right.
How?
Something like that.
How do you, what's your sense for Europe's relationship with America and how it's changed? I mean, I certainly know there's been a lot of contention with the whole Iraq issue. How much of it do you think is Bush-based, and how much is it the relationship is really evolving away from each other?
Do you mean our relationship with the U.S. or?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten the sense that Europe is tired of putting up with the U.S. and tired of the U.S. being so, you know, such a global bully and feeling unrespected from the U.S.
Well, I think there's a lot of prejudices against each other, not only more against the U.S. and U.K. We both got these pictures of each other of one side being the boring side one side be the big bully that everyone should listen to, and they're demanding everyone, when I think that UK do have their own say to a certain point, but I think the US do also have their own say to maybe a further extent. But I think it has obviously broken a lot of the relationships we have with Europe.
What's your take on that, Conrad?
Well, that's one problem. The other problem, I would say, is also a division in the EU. Don't forget that there is a CFSP, the Common Foreign and Security Policy in the EU, one of the pillars, which basically says that the EU countries should cooperate in the foreign policies. And, for example, the countries like Poland or the UK didn't follow the path along with the EU and got involved in the Iraq war with the US. So this is also an internal division in the EU, which right now seems to be somehow cured, and most of the people forgot about it. Now about the issue between the US and Europe, I think that both continents are dependent on each other, and I think that the future cooperation will be better.
In my lifetime, we've always sort of, from the Americans' perspective, seen Europe as our best friend, and it was kind of always the U.S. and Europe against the world sometimes. Do you feel that Europe is, that those ties are getting a little weaker and that Europe is looking to other areas, Asia or South America, to build closer ties?
Yeah, I think that's very true, because it's not only things like wars, it's also things like global warming and stuff, where America are refusing to cooperate in a lot of the things that they're trying to bring out to reduce global warming. And slowly things like that are going to make people not want to have anything to do with the US.
Yeah, and someone can also say that the EU tries to separate somehow from the US at the same time and try to be independent.
Yeah, that's true.
So we try to, we try to follow different policies or different roads, but at the same time try to do something in common.
Do you think NATO has any meaningful purpose anymore?
No, NATO becomes, in my opinion, becomes more like an institution that is somewhere there and is only more or less military power. Like, for example, the UN becomes less and less influential.
Yeah.
How does Europe feel about the UN? I know there's a lot of distrust of the UN right now and antagonism toward the UN. How does Europe feel about the UN?
I haven't really heard much about it lately. I think that just says it all.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Which is kind of sad. I mean, part of the whole World Bridges, idea is one of world citizenship. And it's something that I've been attracted to forever. That my identity is not so much as an American, but as an earthling, And when I consider an issue, be it the environment or economy or whatever, I don't put national interest first. And I think there's more and more people who are thinking that way. And World Bridges would like to involve that in some way.
I think the fact that people are, they're coming together and then they're breaking the rules that they've set out themselves. I think that, like, for example, we were meant to get permission before we went into Iraq, which we didn't, so it was in fact an illegal war, which, I mean, the Prime Minister's always trying to justify it, but it was an illegal war, theoretically. So things like that, you can't have that if you're just going to break all the rules.
Yeah. I have to tell you, one of my greatest envies of the British political system is that your prime minister has to stand in Parliament and defend his policies on a regular basis, and people ask him questions that weren't prepared and weren't, you know, really softball questions. And it's just amazing to watch Tony Blair sit there and articulately and intelligently respond to things. I can't imagine what it would be like to have a president who did that.
Yeah, I think that's good as well, because they also negotiate with all the different parties.
How's the Polish political system evolving? Conrad, are you ready?
Hard question. Well, how it's evolving? Depends what you mean.
In terms of, I guess, sophistication of political debate and opposition and, I don't know, I guess, level of good government. Whatever that means.
Oh, well, we have some internal problems right now. There are many problems that recently have come out. For example, high ministers, I don't remember the issue right now. For example, it was said that some parts of the ministry was doing some, you know, left deals with gasoline, fuel. Well, it, from the external perspective and also internal, the issues with Polish government and policies doesn't seem to be on a good track right now. We expect this year parliamentary changes.
Do you have a strong opposition?
Yes, yes. And it seems that there will be a shift in the power in the parliament.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that, you know, that the whole democratic system wasn't there, and it sounds like it might not be a perfect government, but it's a functioning democracy.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, it's quite amazing that the communism was abandoned. Well, was destroyed in 1989, and basically within few years we reached full democracy.
Welcome.
All right. Hey, someone just joined the chat room, Polkas, who I think might be from Uruguay. Are you guys getting tired? It's pretty late. Is it your bedtime?
Yeah, it's 1:30 here in the UK.
2:30.
Yeah, but you had all that coffee and Red Bull. You should be ready to go.
Yeah. I'm pretty fine.
Yeah, and this has been very cool. This is a lot more substantive than I had hoped for an experimental day.
What was the second broadcast like?
Conrad played some music from his music site, openmusic.pl, okay. And we What's talked to name? One of the musicians. What else happened, Conrad?
Yeah, we had a short interview with one of the musicians from a rap group from Germany.
Okay.
Yeah, and the first broadcast... what was it about, Jeff?
I can't remember.
Me neither.
Yeah, I think Flo was on there or something.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Who didn't realize it had been webcasted. He thought it was just sort of a Skype conference. So he later chatted with me and was like, why are you talking so formally? I was like, well, you know, I'm pretending to be a talk show host. But he posted in the Skype forums later and said, you know, hey, it was pretty cool, guys. Check it out, and I'll be a better guest next time.
Oh
wait. Hello. Are you there, Polkas?
Hello, I'm here.
Excellent. Welcome. Bienvenidos.
Muchas gracias. Thank you.
Where are you Skyping from?
I'm from Uruguay in South America.
Excellent. And
how many are we now?
We are four. I'm Jeff. I'm okay. In New Hampshire in the United States. And would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm Kieran.
I'm Konrad. I'm from Poland.
And I'm Poland. Okay. Nice to meet you all.
Sorry. I thought I said it. Okay. I'm Kieran from the UK.
Okay. What time is it in Uruguay?
In Uruguay, 9:40 p.m.
9:40 p.m. So it's an hour later than it is here.
A cold winter here.
A cold winter. Wow. Yeah. What's the weather like?
It's cold. High humidity. We are in front of the beach, so we are getting cold wind from the sea. Ah. So it's pretty cold.
So how did you hear about this webcast?
I was in the Skype forum yesterday, and I saw the post. And I found it interesting. I want to practice my English. My pronunciation is improbable. I have to work a lot on it. So it's interesting, the opportunity.
Well, I'm understanding you perfectly. What do you do?
Thank you. it's good to know.
I work with people who can't speak English.
Do you speak any foreign languages, Kiernan?
No, but I've done German for 5 years and French was 3.
Yeah, so I'm a typical American. I've studied lots of languages and speak none.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Obviously not a typical American, but...
Well, thank you very much. Here. I'll take that as a compliment. what do you do? In Uruguay,
I work for a financial company. I am the computer guy, maintaining the network, helping users, doing everything it's related to computers.
Another geek. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
We were just talking a lot about European politics and relations with America and stuff. Any thoughts for our next topic, gentlemen?
Star Wars?
Star Wars?
Someone.
Has anyone seen it?
I haven't seen it yet, so.
Me neither.
What kind of geeks are we?
A topic for the next week, maybe.
Yes, a Star Wars review show.
Yeah.
Do you have a website at all yourself?
No, I don't have, no.
How are the internet connections in Uruguay?
Well, I have one of the best, and it's not high, it's not very good. It's... 384 kilobytes, right?
That's not bad.
Yeah, I got it a few months ago, and it's working pretty well. But before that, I had a modem, and I couldn't do those things like this.
Have you done much Skyping so far?
I have a few friends and a few relatives, and I have tried, but not too much. My first conference is this one.
Do you have any thoughts? This is very much in the experimental stages, really just kind of playing to see if the technology works, but hoping to eventually build a network of this kind of webcasting. Do you have any ideas or thoughts or interests in what kind of stuff you'd like to listen to or perhaps produce?
I would have to think about it.
Okay. Well, we'll give you some time. No pressure.
Yeah, okay.
I was asking these guys about Europe because, as a typical American, or really anyone from any country, you usually don't know a lot about other places. The only thing I know about Uruguay is that the team was very fun at the last World Cup. I was in Korea during the last World Cup, and I remember that Uruguay team. They were. I saw them at a hotel. They were having a good time. Other than that, I don't much. Don't know much.
That's all that we know how to do. Play soccer. it's the best we do. But it's a nice country. We have beaches. We have a very quiet place. It's interesting for anyone who wants to visit a quiet place, a safe place in South America. We have tango, good food.
Sounds very nice. Now, what is the correct way to pronounce it? As a kid, I used to learn Uruguay, but when I hear people say it, it's more Uruguay.
Exactly. In Spanish, it's Uruguay. República Oriental del Uruguay.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's like Brazil as well. We say Brazil, but it's pronounced differently, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Brazil. We say Brazil.
Yeah.
Brazil. So how's the Uruguayan team looking for 2006?
We are having a hard time right now. We had a hard phase the past year. We lost three matches on the row. That's okay. And we are trying to improve. We have two hard games coming against Venezuela and Peru. If we lose those matches, we are out of Germany the next year.
Well, good luck. How's the Polish team looking, Konrad?
I'm not into football, unfortunately.
Oh my God, a European who's not into football. Is that socially difficult?
Excuse me?
Is that socially difficult? Do people have anything to talk to you about?
No, you mean only no, about football?
No, I'm joking. I mean,
No.
How many of you would know where Uruguay is? I was wondering.
Yeah, I would.
Could we find it on a map?
Yeah, exactly.
The only reason I know is because I have lots of people who I work with from South America, so they've showed me.
Oh, yeah? What do you do?
I'm a lifeguard.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting.
So,
yeah.
So, a lot of people... Sorry?
Uh-huh. There are a lot of Uruguayans in New Jersey, Spain, Australia. We have a few kind of colonies over there.
Uruguay is kind of known as a relatively European kind of South American country, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The conquerors here almost killed every native in two centuries ago, and we are almost everybody coming from Spain and Italy.
Wow, Western civilization has quite a legacy.
yeah, everything.
All right, well, it's pretty late, especially for our European guys, so I'm thinking maybe we should wrap up for tonight. Any other final comments or questions from anyone?
When the next show? When will be?
I was thinking about doing it again tomorrow, just because I was hoping to get some momentum going. I haven't made that final decision yet. I think I will try to do at least one show tomorrow.
If I'm free, it will be very good.
All right. Let's try... Yeah, I will do a show either at 8 p.m. or 4 a.m. GMT. So that's...
8 p.m.
What time is it now in Uruguay?
Almost 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Do you stay up until midnight? Or is that too late?
Yeah, usually I do.
All right, I think, because I have to be out tomorrow night, but I could do it, let's say, 11:30 p.m. Uruguay time.
Oh, great. I will be here.
All right. So we'll have at least that one show. Guys, I suspect you'll be sleeping in Europe, but if you had too much Red Bull, feel free to check in. And I will... try to get a schedule together so that there'll be more regular shows so people know when to tune in. If you have any ideas, suggestions, or thoughts, please let me know. And muchas gracias. Dziękuję.
Yeah.
Is that how I say it in Polish? Dziękuję.
That was quite good, actually.
Polina.
And thank you all very much. I really appreciate you making me not feel like an idiot talking to myself.
Thank you for this try. It's interesting.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot. Stay tuned. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.